Well, this time of year, you want to pick this man's brain. John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, who I know is working away right now at getting ready for the 2015 first-year player draft for Major League Baseball coming up June 8th. But it's also college baseball tournament time. John, how are you?
I'm doing real well. It's last week with the ACC tournament. We missed having Maryland down here, but we've got it for the next four years in Durham. So a lot of college baseball last week, a lot more this weekend for regionals, and then, like you said, the draft June 8th, 9th, and 10th. Looking forward to that coming and going. And that needs to be over.
Well, it's funny. All these topics I'm about to tell you intertwine. But let's start with this, and that is today Tyler Wilson started game one of a twin bill. Mike Wright started game two. These are homegrown, drafted, and developed pitchers by the Orioles. Two guys that are similar in the sense that they're both college pitchers. They were never highly touted in the sense of being Baseball America top 100 guys, but they all have earned their graduations to the next level, and they've earned their way to Baltimore. And it looks like they have enough there, especially with Wright stuff-wise, that he can really contribute, possibly long-term. But these two guys have always been under the radar, but it looks like they're ready to go when they got the call.
Yeah, and Wright was a third-round pick, and I know we've talked about him on your show several times in the past. You know, I remember seeing him against Anthony Rendon in college. They were in the same league at that time in East Carolina, and it was in Conference USA at that time. And, you know, he bumped 96 in that start against Rendon, struck him out, and overpowered him. And, I mean, obviously, what Rendon's been able to do in his pro career when he's been healthy, impressive. And Mike Wright, you know, had that setback really the first half of last year. He just couldn't throw strikes. And I think he's a great case of, that was good scouting, third round. Didn't have to go up too high to get him, but you had to go fairly high so, because he did flash that velocity. And then you combine that with the development that the Orioles have been able to do to refine it. And you have to give the guy a lot of credit for, I mean, his ERA was around 5 last year coming into August. And he finished great. I think it was late last year in August that he had that no-hitter bid against Durham. And I remember the Durham staff, you know, were here and they were very impressed just with the progress he'd made from earlier in the year to the end of the year, just in commanding his fastball, not letting – I think there was a mechanical breakdown that led to his struggles last year. Then Wilson's always been an interesting guy. I mean, medical school was supposed to be his aim. Mm. I know we did a story on him right before the draft where he basically told teams, look, it's going to take some money to sign me because I do want to go to medical school eventually. And, you know, he's just a really bright kid. And one of the few success stories for UVA's pitchers in pro ball over the last dozen years. You know, UVA's had great success at the college level, but not a lot of their guys, especially the high drafts, have had success in pro ball. And Brandon Klein's a guy who the Orioles drafted out of high school and weren't even able to sign, went to UVA, and he's gotten hurt as a pro. So these kind of things have happened, to UVA pitchers in the past, and Wilson's overcome that, and he wasn't even supposed to be the hyped guy. So his story is a real great success story, and I think the kid's slider has always been a really good pitch.
Yeah, these are the examples of guys who simply were not making it for about 20 years out of the Orioles system.
That's right.
And these are not, again, this is not Kevin Gausman, Dylan Bundy, who you expect to see not only in Baltimore and succeed, and those guys weren't really making it in the 20-year period where things really went awry in the Orioles farm system. But, you know, Gausman's going to be there, maybe Bundy, maybe Hunter Harvey, and a bunch of other guys, but you expect to see that group. But this is a group that if you can develop guys like Wright and Wilson, then you're going to be really good for a long time. It's that simple.
I think so. I think that's how you have a deeper organization. Is you have some, you know, you don't always just, you can't just hit just on your first round picks. And that's what these guys are, a third rounder and a 10th rounder. And that's a must for an organization when you're trying to control your costs and keep the pipeline going of prospects. You can't just rely on those first round picks. You have to have some depth. And when you get a guy, you know, you get guys like Joseph to develop, who weren't high drafts and it took a while, but, I mean, you don't give up on those players. Those are good signs for scouting and player development the last few years, I think, for the Orioles. The development part, I think, has gotten better in the last few years.
John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, is with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. The Orioles, although atypical for them over the last 15 or 20 years, they're picking in the back end of the draft. They've gotten accustomed to that over these last few years, but they do get an additional comp pick for losing Nelson Cruz. So the Orioles get the 36th overall plus the 25th overall. What kind of value are they looking there in a couple of weeks, John?
Oh, this draft is crazy, Brett. I mean, every time I talk to a scouting director, they all tell me they're sorry for me for having to do mock drafts. You know, I feel sorry for them. They're the ones that have to actually spend money on these players. I'm not trying to bag on the players, but this draft class is very flat. There's very little separation. So the Orioles could get, it is conceivable, the Orioles could get the best player in this draft at 25 or 36, or they could get him in the fourth round. This draft, very few players have separated themselves. You know, the Diamondbacks pick first, it's a bad year to pick first. The Astros pick second and fifth, highest combination of picks a team's ever had. You know, no one's ever had two picks in the top five. Terrible year for that to happen. But they have to, you know, they're going to take somebody, and they're going to be big leaguers in this draft. But this is no separation. So in mock drafts, I've had the Orioles taking college bats here and trying to go portfolio approach like most teams go, where you don't go all in on pitching when you have multiple picks. You might take one pitcher, one hitter. I mean, that's usually how teams play it. They try to cover all the bases they can. It's not a great year in any draft demographic, whether you look at college hitters, college pitchers, high school pitchers. They're all a little bit below average, with the exception, I would say, of college hitters, because there's a deep crop of college shortstops this year. So that's a possible area where, you know, you look at the Orioles, KJ Hardy's getting older. Manny Machado is going to be locked in as a third baseman, maybe find a future shortstop. I've heard the Orioles tie it in a little bit to college bat. So with that first pick, that's where I keep on going to for them in terms of which demographic they might choose with their first pick. And it's a very unpredictable draft. And I had a scouting director tell me last night, like, our draft show, because I'll be on the show on MLB Network on June 8th, that show is going to be blown up by multiple surprise picks. And it's going to be a challenge.
More still to come with John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America. We'll break down the NCAA College Baseball Tournament and look at how the Terps will fare in that coming up next year on WBAL News Radio 1090.